Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Emma Platoff, it is so good to have you back. How's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. So, Emma, you are a Boston Globe politics reporter. And the last time you were here, we discussed Boston's rent control proposal. Can you give us a quick rundown of the proposal and where it stands?
Absolutely. So Boston is one of several cities in Massachusetts that's sort of moving towards proposing some way of capping year-over-year increases on rent. Boston has gone the furthest of any city. This is a proposal from Mayor Michelle Wu that would tie allowable annual rent increases to the health of the economy, inflation. So the maximum allowable increase year-over-year would be 6% plus whatever inflation is. So in a normal year, something like 8%. In a high inflation year, it would be capped at 10%. And importantly, there are some big carve-outs for owner-occupied units and for new construction.
Okay, so Emma, the other part about this proposal is that there needs to be approval from the State House, right? Because of some like home rule petition laws here in Massachusetts. And we're talking to you because you and your colleague, Matt Stout, investigated the entire Massachusetts legislature, the House and the Senate, to learn more about who owns property, who rents, and who is a landlord at a time when the body is being asked to decide about this proposal, about rent control, right? Tell us what you found.
Yeah, our biggest takeaway from this investigation of the legislature, which we do at a time right when Massachusetts is confronting a housing crisis, is that the vast majority of the roughly 200 state lawmakers who are in charge of fixing this problem are actually insulated from the worst of it. So there's 198 state lawmakers currently sitting. At least 170 of them own property. More than a quarter of them own multiple properties. At least three dozen of them own rental property, whether commercial, short-term, residential. And on the flip side of that, just 19 of them confirmed that they're renters. So it gives you a sense of when we're talking about these really important housing policy questions, you mentioned rent control, there are other proposals on the table as well, who exactly is making these calls and what experiences from their own lives are they bringing to those decisions?
I imagine there's a lot of information to go through. There's a lot of steps to find out who owns what and where. So take us through that process real quick.
Yeah, it was a long process. So we started with publicly available documents like statements of financial interest, which representatives have to file, ethics disclosures, and also local property records for the few who chose not to answer our many calls and texts and emails. So what we wanted to do was basically confirm who owns what in the state and exactly what sort of perspective they might be bringing to these questions. So in addition to paging through thousands of pages of these documents, we also called, texted, emailed, door-knocked, bothered the staff of all 198 state lawmakers and ultimately heard back from most of them.
Mm-hmm. So in your reporting, you found that at least 36 legislators own rental property. How many properties are we talking about?
There's really a range. So there's one state senator, Barry Feingold of Andover, who owns at least $42 million worth of real estate all across the Merrimack Valley and a condo in Boston's Back Bay. There are many state lawmakers who own, you know, one rental unit, two or three rental units. There's really a wide range. And then, of course, there are a handful who are renters themselves.
Yeah, 19 lawmakers are renters. What have you heard from them?
At least 19 lawmakers are renters. Yeah, some of them are in that bucket who we couldn't quite reach. But it was really interesting to talk to state lawmakers about sort of the range of experiences they had. So State Senator Adam Gomez represents Springfield. He shared with us that he actually has had the experience of having to live in a shelter when he and his family couldn't afford housing. State Senator Jamie Eldridge told the story of leaving an apartment, his landlord doing some renovations, and later learning that the rent had doubled, actually, in the place where he was previously living. So it's kind of the poster child, the exact type of story that a proposal like rent control, which Eldridge supports, is hoping to prevent. And then kind of on the other end of that spectrum, there are, you know, dozens and dozens of people in the middle who sort of own your classic single family in the suburbs. On the other side of that, you have many state lawmakers with very substantial property holdings, including one, State Representative Francisco Paulino, who represents Methuen, who I reached him on the phone. He was driving, and I asked him, how much property do you own? And he said, I don't keep count, which I think was a striking thing for for those of us who would love to love to own property someday to hear.
This type of story, hearing that somebody would say, I lost count, like, that's just a world away from me, you know?
It's a world away from many renters in Massachusetts, right? So we compared at least 86% of the legislature owns homes. The statewide home ownership rate is just 61%. If you look at Boston and the Boston delegation, that difference is even bigger. At least 80% of the 20-member Boston delegation to the state house owns property. Just 35% of people who live in the city own homes. So it's a different world. And I think to me, there were two really big takeaways, right? One is this kind of very direct question of conflict of interest, right? If you are a landlord and you are being asked to consider something like rent control, you are directly having to weigh your own financial interest potentially against the choice you might think is the best policy, against the choice that might make the most sense for your constituents. And we should be clear, you know, there were many homeowners and some landlords too who said, I actually support rent control. I think this is a good idea. But in Massachusetts, these lawmakers are not barred from voting on legislation like that that could directly impact their own profits.
So these lawmakers would not have to recuse themselves from voting on Boston's rent control proposal.
Yeah, under Massachusetts law, state lawmakers are not barred from voting on general legislation or home rule petitions that could impact them financially. In many cases, they may be required to file an ethics disclosure.
Is it fair to say in this situation, the same could be said for the legislators who rent?
Absolutely. I think you could make the counter argument on almost anything, right? Everyone who's a state lawmaker pays taxes, right? They're also making decisions on taxes. They all have health insurance. They're making decisions on that. Everyone comes to this policymaking role with a wide range of experiences, you know, the way that they move through the world. And I think we're not looking to comment on that any one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Our thought was just, this is information that should be out in the open.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered, but we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. What are your biggest takeaways from this story?
I mentioned one, which is just sort of this really direct, concrete question of conflict of interest and who exactly is being allowed to make decisions on big, big issues like rent control that could have direct financial impact on them. But I think sort of to take a step back from that, what was really striking to me in this moment in Massachusetts where evictions are rising, shelters are filling, home ownership is increasingly out of reach for all but the wealthiest, the people whose job it is to solve this crisis are insulated from the worst of the pain. And The Massachusetts legislature, those who follow it, know that it moves very slowly. In part, that's by design, right? The legislative process is supposed to be deliberate. We don't want to rush. But also, we're sitting here at the end of April, well into the fourth month of the legislature session, and the Housing Committee has met one time for about 6 minutes.
6 minutes?
6 minutes. It was a quick one. So I think There are struggling tenants, there are advocates, there are folks who are worried about their own future and their own ability to stay in Massachusetts, to stay in Boston, to live in the communities where they want to live, who are saying, how can I expect you to act with urgency if you are not someone who's struggling through this emergency yourself?
What questions do you have after reporting this story?
I think my big question is, what happens next? You know, we've heard a lot from the governor, we've heard a lot from the House Speaker and from the Senate President about housing being a big priority. We're certainly hearing it from voters and from residents of the state who are struggling with their own housing situations, whether they're renters, whether they're struggling through an eviction. And we've been told that it's a priority. So my question is, what does that look like? You know, what is the policy that materializes? If it's not something like rent control, which we should say is a controversial issue. Economists have their own concerns about rent control. History has sort of a spotty record on what exactly rent control can do to a society. But there are other proposals, like a pitch to raise a small transfer tax on high-dollar real estate transactions and then dedicate that money to affordable housing. So my question is, what happens to proposals like that? What do we actually see them pass?
Okay, so with all that said, what chance do you think Boston's rent control proposal has of making it through Beacon Hill?
I think my answer to that question is pretty similar after working on this story to what it was before, which is that we have heard very little appetite from legislative leaders about rent control. The most direct comment we heard from the House Speaker Ron Mariano earlier this year when the specific proposal materialized out of Boston was that he had, quote, questions about it. The last time there was even a vote in the legislature on rent control, it was in the Massachusetts House in 2020, and it was defeated 136-23. So that's a pretty decisive margin, right? And it's worth noting we went through the votes, and nearly all of the current landlord legislators who were serving at the time voted against rent control. There were two exceptions, Russell Holmes and Kevin Honan, who both represent Boston. But I think just that vote, it was a few years ago, but also the fact that there's been no vote since then gives you a pretty strong hint as to what we can expect.
Well, Emma, thank you so much for this story and coming through to the Common to talk to us about it. We love talking about housing. It's such an important issue. So thank you very much.
Us too. Thanks for having me.
That's Boston Globe politics reporter Emma Platoff. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on rent control, please hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.